College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday. Junkies with you on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV in Richmond. We appreciate you checking us out on 910 The Fan or 105.1 FM. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, as always, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Friday morning, July 25th, 2025. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Johnny Cakes Allville.
Hey, what's up? Happy Friday, all.
Said this earlier this week. This is your last week without NFL football.
It's glorious.
Pretty cool.
It's fantastic.
Hall of Fame game, I believe, on Thursday.
It is Thursday, yeah.
Chargers, Commanders Lions. Preseason game will be the following week.
Love it.
So the NFL season is upon us. We're going to talk to our pal Chris Russell from the Team 980, little colleague check-in coming up at 7:25.
Excellent.
He's been out at Commanders training camp. EB will help us hit the skins at 7 o'clock. We got our Junkies weekend parlay. Bish Bucks taking another Friday off. A little jealous, envious of a three-day weekend.
Who doesn't love a three-day weekend? They're amazing. They're fantastic.
We just get 3 days of good sleep.
It's great. It's the best.
Three days of good sleep.
No one cares, but my alarm actually woke me up today, which is like sent from heaven. That means I was sleeping until, you know, my alarm went off, which never happens. It means I was actually asleep.
Excellent. Get some good REM. Do you have one of those apps which tracks your sleep? You probably should have it.
I used to. It'd be very depressing. I didn't like it.
You don't want to see the stats.
I actually didn't like it. It was too broken, and then I saw my heart rate would get so slow, which is probably a good thing, but it just would scare me. And I was like,
how low?
I don't know, like in the 40s or something, like when you're sleeping. And I was like,
That seems pretty low.
I think your body's just like going into like a cocoon.
I think it's just normal. I think it's probably normal. I would look at my stats in the morning. I was like, this is unnerving. Yeah. I'd rather not know.
So when I walked in here, Patricia from El Zol was walking in and I asked her in Spanish how the interview went. Now she shot back in English. Sometimes we converse in Spanish.
Yeah.
But she was like, it was an interview.
Yeah, right.
But I think that they got kind of the raw end of the deal that it was towards the end of their show. We spent a lot of time with Mayor Bowser.
Well, I really was conscious of that when they said that she got to do the others. Yeah, we should let her
yeah.
know.
Yeah, which was definitely very caring of you. Well, but they still got kind of shafted with the time.
Yeah.
But interestingly, after she did our show and she did the round of shows here, PGC and El Zol.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. Tailgate Ted was introducing her in D.C. in this huge rally.
Look, he said he might get involved in politics. He's weaseling his way in. He's sticking his foot in the door. Good for him.
But it really was almost a victory lap. I know it's not official, but after the show, Phil Mendelson chimes in. So they've reached an amended deal.
Yeah. So now it's up for a vote. It's going to have to pass two votes. One on August 1st, and the second, I believe, is on September 17th.
Let me just say something. First of all, I thought we were great with her.
I mean, I thought she was awesome.
Well, I'm not making it about us.
I understood.
I thought we were great.
As a group, yes.
I thought we were great.
I concur.
And I actually think, even though like no one cares what anybody thinks politically, and that's fine, my politics are probably 100% different than hers. I didn't find her to be ideological. Like, I found her to be like a driven person. It could probably run for any party. Like, she just likes to get stuff done.
Yeah.
So I actually did find her charming. I liked her. And I didn't feel like she came in here with like a political agenda per se, that she's just a person that wants to get things done.
Yeah, she seems to want to do things right for the city.
Yeah, like, I think there was some genuineness to it. I actually really liked her.
You can see clips if you haven't seen it. A lot of them are on our Instagram. Give us a follow, Sports Junkies Radio. Also our YouTube page. Mike has done a great job for several months now boosting our YouTube page. I think you follow 106.7 The Fan, and then you can click on Sports Junkies, but lots of clips there. do give it a follow because we don't really pump it very much.
Did find it funny after the interview was done. Look, she's busy. She had to hit two other spots. So we take a picture right outside of the studio. And Mike Marr starts taking photos with his phone and he's jumping in front of like the real photographer. And like he's taking a picture or two. And Mayor Bowser's like, all right, let's do this. Let's get this
let's
going.
Hurry. She literally says, let's hurry.
Yeah. She's like, she's dumb picture. Business, baby. Yeah. She needs to get to the next stop.
But Mike Marr then acquiesced, got out of the way. As much as you fumbled breakfast, you were not going to fumble your picture.
No, but she was very snappy with it.
She was ready to get the pic done.
She's a big smile to get the picture in. But, you know, again, you interjected yourself and got your picture there. There you were bold.
Good
with
job.
Breakfast, not so bold.
Bulldog.
Well, you were bold there.
You know what he was trying to do, right?
No.
I don't know.
Well, he was trying to virtue signal. Because he had his Redskins logoed t-shirt on.
You just wanted to make it about you, so she could
see
that?
And then he wanted to stand next to the mayor with a big Redskins logo.
Okay, got it.
Is that
so the HTTR crowd could high-five him about it.
Is that true?
Interesting.
I honestly don't know. Is that true?
Hail to the Redskins, baby.
No, but
he did get a picture.
No, I know he did. Did you tell Valdez and the boys I want to get a picture next to Mauser in my Redskins gear?
No.
No, I just, I mean, I'm very observant.
But it was very calculated that he wore that.
There's no doubt he wore that on purpose.
He wore the oldest Redskins polo known to man.
If you were wearing, like, a SpongeBob t-shirt, would you have stood next to the mayor?
Who cares?
Really?
Yeah. I told you.
So Valdez is actually correct.
Yeah, he's pretty accurate there.
But we talked about it amongst ourselves. None of us delivered, but we all said we were going to maybe wear old Redskins gear.
I didn't understand that bit that much because she. I don't think she cares what you call the team.
She
said publicly, call them whatever.
I know.
It doesn't make sense to me.
No, but this is, you don't understand that this is for the boys, for Marr.
Yeah.
So you can have that picture with the logo right next to her and be like.
Do you think that's why she was be a little rude to you because she saw the Redskins say she saw through the bit.
I don't know. Maybe she didn't think it was tight.
That?
No, she was on a schedule. No, she was on a tight
schedule. She
couldn't
care less. How close were you to her when you took the picture?
She didn't even notice.
Like three or four people down.
But you're almost out of the frame. I don't know how.
He just jumped in after we did our picture. So Mayor Bowser was in the middle. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the order.
It doesn't matter.
The four of us are surrounding Mayor Bowser, and then he just jumped on in the end.
Well, he wanted you guys out.
He did.
It was so awkward because she was like, hurry, hurry.
Yes.
Nobody had patience for
you
guys.
Oh, did you secretly want us out?
No. I wanted you guys in.
You should have just said, get out.
No.
I don't need to He wanted to be next to the mayor.
He's lying right now because I know him, and he wanted a solo shot with the mayor, but it was so like uncomfortable.
Because
she was like, get me out of here.
She had no tolerance for it.
Yeah.
Wasn't just her.
She saw right through his little bit.
No, she wasn't paying attention.
It wasn't just her, and I know Drab talked about this off air. Her people were all business.
I mean, they
did not mess around.
No.
They asked about where she was sitting three or four times.
Most of those guys were just chilling, though.
When she moved out of here, the PR woman came back here, and she was all business. They had left something, and it was quick.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, again, God bless people that want to do that kind of thing. That is a nightmare job. I don't know who would want to do it.
Why would you want to
do 9 million things in one
day? Even if I were qualified for it, which I'm clearly not, I would have no desire to ever get into politics.
About qualifications.
I guess, you know, you don't really need to be that qualified. You just have to be like an American citizen.
But pretty much just try not to have a scandalous past, and then you can maybe do it.
Sure, try not to have a lot of skeletons in the closet.
But I would just have zero desire to do 9 million things in one day.
Zero.
They'd
give you an itinerary like that looked like this every day. And you'd be like, I have to be here at 9 a.m. I got to do this at noon.
When am I going to
meet with this person
at
2 p.m.? When am I going to take a nap? Where's nap time on this list?
Yesterday after the show, I did a lot of stuff with my kids. I really enjoyed that time. But it got to a point where about 5 p.m., 6 p.m., and I just said to my wife, I said, enough already. Enough. I need some me time. I literally said enough.
Like my biggest issue today.
I need some me time.
I'm going to go play some cash game at MGM after the show is over, probably till about 2 p.m., then drive on the death loop, hopefully for an hour. I don't know how I'm going to get a nap in. I might have to forego a nap. That's my biggest that is my biggest hurdle today.
Hard knock life.
Yeah.
It's a tough life. I understand, but people, please feel for me. It's a Friday no nap day. for your pal cakes.
Hopefully you can catch up tonight.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Tear emojis cakes.
I know. Nobody's crying for me. I understand. Cry me a river.
I feel for you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Hey, everybody's got their own cross to bear. Everybody has it.
Mine's very heavy.
You worked very hard to get to this part.
Understood.
This stage in your life.
Absolutely.
Where you could take a nap.
Sliced.
Not that everybody doesn't work hard, but I mean, you've carved out a career specifically that allows you to nap.
Maybe I could take a 20-minute micro nap before I head to MGM. That could be on the docket.
By the way, when you said when could you golf if you had a job like that, former presidents and the current president have found a lot of
they
ways,
do, but even
a lot of time
enjoyable.
To play golf.
That's not enjoyable. They're flying through. I don't like
Secret
that kind
Service
of golf.
Secret Service everywhere. There's somebody in the bushes recording every shot.
Yeah,
but you'd be sized to never wait on a tee box in your entire
you
life.
Never wait. That's true.
That part is great.
I don't think I would enjoy that kind of golf. To be honest, you get to play the world's best golf courses.
I don't know how long the president is out playing golf. I do know he's known for driving his cart onto the greens.
You'd be sized for that.
When you own the golf course, you can do what you want.
So when you own the Turnberry, I mean, what a portfolio.
I'm just saying, not just him. Former presidents, too, have found a way to play plenty of golf.
I wouldn't want to be. All those political jobs, they're psychotic people on some level. I just don't know why they would want to do
but
that.
But hey, Tailgate Ted.
Good job, Tailgate.
Tailgate Ted.
Way to get up there.
Introducing the mayor.
Impressive.
I don't know if you would call that a pep rally. I don't know what you would call that.
He's the kind of guy that could do politics if he wanted. He is. You know, I have no idea if he's got skeletons.
His speech was pretty good.
Yeah.
I didn't click on it. I saw the picture.
I didn't click on the speech either.
Thank you for joining us.
Here it is.
Now, some of you are probably wondering how Tailgate Ted ended up behind the mic at this press conference.
Third person.
Yeah. Believe me, I was wondering the same thing. When I got a call from the mayor's office last night, I honestly thought they were asking me to cater the event. Turns out they had something a little more meaningful in mind. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a proud D.C. resident and a diehard Washington Commanders fan.
Play to the base.
I grew up going to games at RFK with my dad. It wasn't just a football stadium. It was a place where the city came alive. It's where champions played, where fans became family, and where so many unforgettable moments were born. Today, we're one step closer to bringing that magic back. The possibility of the Commanders returning to their true home means something deeply personal to so many of us.
If I were a politician, which I will never be, I would have somebody write all my speeches. I would proofread them.
I'm sure people looked at his speech.
I'm sure they did.
If they didn't give
it
to
him. I'm sure he wrote it. I'm guessing he wrote that. But I would have people write my speeches.
Remember that Don Van Natta article about how Snyder was seething because the team was winning?
Yes.
Oh, he's very probably so pissed that they're actually going to move to RFK, and he tried for a decade.
You know, it's one thing to be pissed. You wonder at any point, because this is what I thought of this morning, is that, you know, I was listening to the news, and, you know, we're getting closer and closer. Is there any self-reflection on his part? Like, he's a billionaire.
Doubtful.
Probably not.
But there's got to be a moment.
Hey, I don't feel bad for him at all. He had 25 years to turn the team
that
around and make
mean
them a
I
winner.
Feel bad for him. That's not what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting he's basically been banished to a boat in like Europe somewhere.
Right. Good.
They can't even be in the country. Does he realize how? Like, all right, Mar fumbled breakfast. This guy fumbled one of the biggest bags in the history of the world. He fumbled the Redskins.
Well, he took an iconic franchise and he drove them into the ground.
Right. And now he's been banished from the country. All of his dreams, none of them, we talked about it yesterday with the mayor. You know, why were they able to get this deal done? No businessman wanted to do business with it.
Nope.
Dan was such a loser. Let's be honest. A lot of these politicians are crooked as hell. They didn't want to do it. They didn't want to be associated with him.
Right. He was toxic. He was
that toxic. The
city wanted no part of him.
Yes.
And then a new owner comes in, and within 2 years is...
Do you
99% delivering RFK.
Do you think he is self-reflective in a quiet moment alone laying in bed?
I think he's probably angry, blaming other people than himself.
So he never has a moment where he says, you know what, maybe I did
mess up. Maybe when he's by himself lying in bed, but he would never admit it to anybody.
I think he's so detached from reality that he
that's wild.
That I'm sure he's probably blaming Bruce because wasn't Bruce supposed to deliver the stadium? He probably blames Bruce Allen, probably blames other people.
So do you think like convicted murderers that are on death row, they never say, you know what, I really messed up?
Some will be remorseful.
Right,
sure.
So why wouldn't Dan Snyder at some point
it's possible.
Not even be remorseful, but just understand that I put myself in this position?
It's possible, but knowing what we know about Dan, unlikely.
I don't know. He's still a human being.
And I also don't believe the people who are like, if you just had a drink with Dan Snyder, you'd love him.
No,
he's a guy's
so.
Guy. You'd love Dan Snyder. I don't think so.
I know that
the main guy who used to say that to us,
Larry,
ended up getting fired.
Yeah, but I like Larry. Larry was a good guy. He might have flaws. We all have flaws. I like Larry.
I like Larry too.
But I don't understand that bit.
He was also paid by that guy.
Sure, he probably paid handsomely.
He made a lot of money off that.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, got to take a break. If you want to chime in throughout the show, you can always hit us up at 1-800-636-1067. That's the number for our text line as well, which is brought to you by Lido Pizza, a local favorite since 1955, serving pizza, subs, jumbo wings, and salads. Lido Pizza Square, because Lido Pizza never cuts corners. For locations or to place your order, go to LidoPizza.com. You can text us at 1-800-636-1067. Standard message and data charges may apply. We're the Junkies. Be right back.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not gonna lie, I wasn't a huge Hulk Hogan fan growing up, but this song always got me pumped up. Like, sure. He had a good intro song.
Had a great,
I didn't even know this was his intro song. He's a great showman.
Yeah.
No
that
idea.
Hulk Hogan.
I like Hulk. And I have to say, you know, Cakes likes to spout the old idea that, and Cakes not the only one, but he's the one who threw it out there on the show. You know, that death comes in threes, any celebrity death.
Definitely does. This week it did.
I mean, I just don't believe that in any level, but the third death was Hulk, and it hit me more than the other two, actually. For you, I'm sure it was Ozzy.
Ozzy was the one that hit me the hardest.
But Malcolm Jamal, like, really kind of hit me.
Shook me, too.
All three of them did shake me on a level because I liked them all. And believe me, I'm the least wrestling mark of all of us. Maybe JP's less than me. I just, not a wrestling guy. But, of course, I grew up watching Hulk Hogan, who didn't. And I always found, like, he had a million flaws, too. A lot of scandal. But I still found him, you know, publicly anyway, endearing. And it hit me.
Fuck.
It hit me.
I mean, there's no disputing his. I mean, he's the most popular wrestler of all time.
Yeah.
I just don't think there's any disputing that. Like, who else would even come close?
The Rock.
I don't know. To me, he's
10 times.
I think he's biggest, but the Rock.
I mean, maybe The Rock comes close. But
you ask my mother, who's Hulk Hogan, she knows. She didn't know The Rock.
Like,
now, my mom's 88.
Hulk Hogan is a guy where you walk down the street in, like, the Philippines, and you show a picture of him to somebody, and they'll be like, that's Hulk Hogan.
I mean, The Rock is famous. Don't get me wrong. Hulk was on steroids. I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what killed him.
Yeah. I mean, but it might have.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That one.
But, he lasted the longest, I would say, because I think at the height of their powers, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, a couple others were as big in the moment. Now, their moments probably didn't last as long.
Yeah.
And I would say
the moment virtually lasted till his death.
I think it was like 30 plus years. His run was
maybe 50,
absurd.
Yeah. Whatever Rocky started. I think
83.
Like, yeah.
That was Rocky 3.
Yeah.
I mean, he played Thunderlips.
And we knew him before that.
Yeah, I went to one WWE event at the old Capitol Center.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Hulk Hogan against Randy Macho Man Savage.
It's a great
in a steel cage.
Oh, I think I went to that.
Sounds amazing.
We probably went together.
I mean, I went to a steel cage.
Hulk was so long ago. Like, his origins were, like, it was still the WWF. At that point. Like,
of course.
WWE was way off in the distance.
When he
was on
Rocky 2 or whatever. Rocky 3.
Yeah.
Didn't they announce him as like a 7-footer? What was it? I was thinking of him yesterday when
I was
watching
him. He was 6'7".
Was he actually 6'7"? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think on Rocky, of course, it's movies.
Yeah, they embellished a little bit.
I think they called him like a 7-footer. But then I saw him like waving a flag or something at some event. And I was like, wow, that dude really was tall, wasn't
he? Big dude. Big,
massive. He really was tall.
And the 24-inch pythons.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the arms, but until I saw him, I don't know, like his extremities. It was the angle where I could see how long his legs really were. Yeah. And he had, you know, in his last year or two, obviously probably last 15 years, he'd had a lot of injuries. And mm-hmm. so I think he'd had like 30 surgeries. So he was really laboring to walk. I was like, wow, that dude, I wish I'd seen him in person. I would like to have experienced.
I don't know that I ever saw. I might have
I mean,
seen him once.
I saw him at that
in
event, but from 20,000 seats
might have
away.
Seen him once. Maybe.
But I never was in the same room with him. And I would have liked to have seen how massive he was.
Wasn't he also the guy that turned down the George Foreman grill idea that would have made him probably an extra $500 million on top of whatever he made? I'm sure he regretted that.
But I'm sure he had a lot of financial issues, too, even though I was just in Tampa a couple months ago, and there still are iconic Hulk things, stores, and like hotels.
His restaurant, was like, there were videos of his restaurant just packed last night in the wake of him passing.
Yeah, his restaurant, still, the Hogan Beach Shop.
Hogan's Hangout, I believe.
I was just there. I mean, literally walked right by all that stuff.
And just like Ozzy, low-key, talented reality show
I never really
fixture.
Consumed his reality show.
Hogan Knows
Best.
I
didn't even watch that much of the Osbournes.
With Nick and Brooke.
Yeah.
Nick was a clown.
Of course.
Brooke was the favorite. And then all of a sudden, now Brooke hasn't talked to him in 8 years. I guess she did have a deathbed. She
strained
did
relationship.
Yeah, she did say that she loved him on his deathbed. So
yeah, which
can
is
you
good.
Can you imagine how she would feel if she kept that in or
just didn't get that resolved.
Yeah, didn't get that resolved.
But apparently she also still, I saw Linda, you know, obviously that family's had a lot of turmoil. But I saw the ex-wife, like because it was his first wife.
Okay.
She said, like, you know, Brooke, she's upset at me. I don't even know why. She's upset at her dad, and now she won't talk. She hadn't talked to me in 8 years. Yeah. Too. Like, she's throwing me in the mix.
By the way, credit Bubba the Love Sponge, who's all over
it. Was he all over it?
It sounds like it, because didn't you bring that up like a day or two before?
Well,
Hulk
he had
passed?
Said that he was on his deathbed. He was out of it, obviously.
Yeah.
But he had been saying for weeks that he was in the hospital. They were saying it was for like neck surgery. Okay. He's like, no. He's got a bad heart. Not working. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was dialed
in all
on
over it. Yeah.
I mean, you can make an argument that Hogan has like two of the biggest moments in wrestling history. I mean, I know if you're not into WWE, but I mean,
what are the biggest moments?
Well, him versus Andre the Giant at WrestleMania 3.
He lifted Andre
at
the Silverdome.
Yeah, the Andre Slam.
I mean, how the hell did he do that?
I have no idea.
That's a lot of steroids.
He's kind of strong, EB.
I mean,
I know, but you know how big Andre was. That's like lifting a car.
That took wrestling from probably like a regional thing, or maybe it was growing by that point, and then it just exploded into Hulkamania.
Yeah.
And then probably one of the most shocking moments in wrestling history is when Hogan turned heel and joined the NWO.
Right.
And
see, that's where you lose me. I didn't really.
I know, but it was like
one
of the biggest
really
swerves in wrestling history. Like
that was actually when I got into it.
Prior to that, he was always a good guy.
Yeah.
Even when he was Terry Bollea, like before. He
well,
was
maybe
Hulk.
Before he became Hulk Hogan and started wearing his infamous gear, he might have been a bad guy, but he basically was a good guy the whole time. And then he moved over.
In his prime of his career.
He moved over to WCW, and that's when he became part of NWO.
Hold on, was the WCW, I thought it was WWE, where everybody was like grabbing their crotch and everything. There was
that was.
Era.
That was the extreme era, right?
That was the era where everybody was grabbing their Johnson and giving everybody the finger.
Yeah,
WCW and WWF at that time were competing. They were different.
But wasn't Vince's guys also grabbing their Johnsons
and
giving
the finger? That was the Generation X.
Yes. Yeah,
that was...
They're doing so
great. I don't think it was called the Extreme Era. It was called something else.
Attitude. Yeah, I got two words for you. Blanket.
Those guys, they were doing this?
The chop, the crop chop.
But WCW,
when you look back on it,
I actually watched.
Hilarious.
I watched a lot of the NWO. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Hogan became a bad guy, started wearing black, and then he recruited people. There was Kevin Nash and X-Pac and
Ramon. That was a wild time in wrestling.
Yes, Razor Ramon, who always had the toothpick.
Yeah.
They were the bad guys. And these kind of, you know, they took over, and that raised the popularity of WCW. They would like spray paint people. It was crazy.
Listen, it's not my thing anymore, but I will say, out of respect to it, I've told you guys before, like once every 4 years or something. Now, they do some bit on like Tuesday nights or something. What do they do? Where it's like on Fox. It's on a network.
It's now on Netflix. At least some of it's.
Well, it used to be a couple years ago.
Raw is on Netflix.
Yeah.
It used to be a couple years ago.
SmackDown.
Maybe.
It used to be different nights.
Is that still on a network?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe once every 5 years, I'll see it. And I'm blown away at the production values and just
Oh, and the houses are packed. Capital One Arena is packed to the rafters.
I know they draw.
Yeah.
I'm not dumb. But just the production values of it all, it blows me away.
Good lighting.
Just how well the whole thing is done.
I went to a show 5 or 6 years ago. I can't really remember any of it. Just, I felt like I should take my kids at one point.
Yeah.
Kelsey and Dylan weren't really into it.
Some culture.
It was kind of cool that they weren't that into it.
I've done it.
Yeah, I've taken them to...
My kids went through a wrestling phase.
I've taken them to Monster Truck. Yeah, I've taken them to a few things just to at least do things once.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember, there was somebody from the station that was so into it that almost I ran into somebody that like had their belt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people get so into it.
A lot of wrestling marks out there.
No doubt.
No shortage of
them. Was it Thom Daly?
I think it was Thom.
Yeah. Whatever happened to that dude?
He moved to Cincinnati. I haven't heard from him since.
He's a really nice guy. I really liked him. I liked him.
Yeah, me too.
I like Thom too.
He, like Eric Wadden. Yeah. Just basically dead.
Believe I went to Thom's wedding.
I can vouch for Eric Wadden, not dead, still in our dynasty NFL league. Nice. Me and Drab.
Tell him I said what's up.
And Bodie. I will. I'll let him know you reached out.
I always like Thom. Eric Wadden, I liked a little bit. No, he was fine.
I saw this psychologist talking about friendship and adult friendship. Said the number one factor.
Mm-hmm.
For adult friendship,
mm-hmm.
is proximity.
Yeah, well, it's big. It's a big thing.
Can I tell you what the number one thing for me is? And I've had people say this to me because I've said it to them, and they always think of me. That it's like, can you make me laugh? Can you? I like to hang out with people that can make me laugh. Like, you have to entertain me on some level. If you're just a boring person. We could be acquaintances, but we're probably not going to be tight. You need to be able to make me laugh, and I would never say that to a person.
Yeah.
But
it's a litmus test.
It's my own personal litmus test. Mm-hmm. I have to like laughing.
Yeah.
To be around you.
But I think the point of the psychologist was
I'm just saying it's my own personal litmus test.
There were other factors, but the point is the person that makes you laugh, once they move away, that friendship dissipates.
It makes total sense. Are you going to be closer friends with a guy that lives in Montgomery County or a guy that moves away to like San Diego?
Of course. I get it.
I mean,
that makes sense. Yeah, that's just common sense to me.
You're going
to
be closer with people you see more.
It's unlikely I will be in touch with you as much, although it's easier now with the phones, mm-hmm. and the Zoom calls or whatever you call it, FaceTime and everything.
They said they did studies of people who moved into dorms and literally the level of friendship was who was closer to the room. So if you live down the hall, even if they were in your dorm on the same floor, down the hall, less likely to be friends with them than the person right across.
Well, it sounds like DK Metcalf and Aaron Rodgers are going to be tight because they're like sweet mates in the college dorm. And they're sharing for the Steelers training camp.
Hmm.
Anyway,
Nubs looking
death
dorms
in threes,
too.
You say? Somebody sent something that there was a fourth. I've forgotten who it was.
I mean,
I'm with you. The death in threes, like, is it last a week? Last a month?
No, it's just cherry picking right. stuff. But it's
this,
fun.
This week, the death comes in threes. It was a thing.
It was 3 days in a row.
It was a thing.
Three biggies in a row.
Pretty big ones.
JP's a little too gleeful about Hogan's death for me this morning.
Oh, yes.
He thinks it's funny. I don't know.
How am I gleeful?
I can just tell. Like you're smiling about it. It's a sad day, man. Like
it is.
Hogan,
and
his legacy is going to be complicated because he did a lot of knucklehead stuff in the last few years, and it actually bummed me out. His last appearance. I mean, whenever that music hit for decades in wrestling. The crowd would, it was like The Rock. The crowd would go absolutely bananas. His final time appearing in WWE was back in January at the debut of Raw on Netflix.
Okay.
And he was booed out of the arena because, Hogan made the choice to align himself with Trump, and he has his stuff that he said leading up to it.
No, but that's the Trump stuff. That's the Trump stuff for people blowing up.
I know, but he was his final time.
Yeah.
The last time anyone saw him in a wrestling arena, he was booed out of the arena.
Mm.
Trying to put him over.
Oh, it was 20,000 people booing him.
Yeah.
It was so awkward.
Hey, we're going to think of him whenever Dave Richard comes on the show. That's his walk-up music.
No, Dave Richard went back to Hasselhoff.
Oh, that's right. It used to be that.
Yeah.
He's been with Hasselhoff for a few years now.
I didn't get any
of those
bits.
I'm living in the past.
Knight Rider.
I love Knight Rider, but I guess I don't listen to I'm telling you, of all the years, the only song that would always hit, and it hits people, and we'll play it today, is the Feinstein song at 8.
Piano Man.
Yeah.
The Feinstein bit. Billy Joel.
Yeah. Any Billy Joel.
And I didn't even realize that Valdez had been doing it since he passed every Friday. But people, it resonates with people.
Definitely does.
You know your EP music.
Yeah. Yep. Entertainment Tonight. I think that's where it's from, right? Entertainment Tonight. Yeah.
Mm. Dead or alive, Mary Hart?
Alive.
Alive.
Okay.
I'm going to say alive.
Oh, she's definitely alive.
She's probably 75 or 80, but I'm going to go alive.
All right. Trying to think, there's another. People, you know, again, it depends on your level of celebrity. But I've been reading, people are dying all ages. It's wild.
I think the pseudo celeb that people were trying to crowbar into the Ozzy Hogan triumvirate of death was Chuck Mangione, like a jazz artist who passed. I think he was like 84.
Yeah. I mean, hello, the obituaries are littered with dead people.
Yeah.
Every day.
Every single day.
Every day.
Reaper doesn't take
days
off.
Do they still print
off.
Obituaries, though?
They do.
Wow.
I mean, I haven't opened a newspaper in probably 5 to 7 years, but I'm pretty sure they still do obits.
We still get a paper delivered from my mother at my house because my mom lives with us about half the time. I share my mom with my sister. And when she's not there, these papers just stack up.
Yeah.
Because to me, I mean, God bless everybody that works at these papers, but that, I think most of their reading these days is online for people. It's just old news by the time you get it.
It's just a relic. A newspaper wrapped up in a plastic bag at the bottom of your driveway, to me, that just signals you're at least 70 years old.
Maybe.
Like if you're getting it on a daily basis.
I mean, it's true in my case for my mother. And I'm a guy that used to consume 3 to 4 newspapers a day. I'd spend... In college, broke a couple dollars every day on like 3 or 4 papers every day. And I wasn't reading the front page. I was
You're
reading the sports
page. Of the USA Today, too. That was 50 cents.
Every day. It was USA Today, Washington Times, and Washington Post. It was all for sports.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talked about it, what was the
sporting news?
No, I got that obviously delivered. No, but the one that was all sports that was the daily. That Feinstein worked with for
the National.
The National.
Mm-hmm.
I was buying that when it was, you know, for the year or two that was around.
USA Today was brilliant by just putting everything in color.
Oh,
that was just a game changer.
I love the color pictures.
Purple section, life. Green section, balding. Red section, sports.
Yes.
Front page, that blue.
Yes.
Rarely consume that.
Yeah. No, never did.
Went right to the red section.
Never did.
1-800-636-1067 is the number if you want to chime in throughout the show. We're the Junkies. Be right back.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Massive monkey tilt this morning before I left my house. So I have my work bag on my kitchen like island, and I grab it and I sling it over my shoulder. And as I do it, I knock my wife's AirPods holder onto the kitchen floor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and of course the top can't just stay contained and keep the AirPods in.
I know what happened.
The top opens, okay, and one of the AirPods. Lands about 2.5 feet away from the case. I'm like, okay, that's easy. Now where's the second one?
Yeah.
Now I'm like, I'm looking underneath the kitchen table. I'm down on my hands and knees. I'm looking underneath like the computer hutch. I can't find it. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Like this is the last thing I want slowing me down on the way to work in the morning. I just want to get out the door and get into my drone zombie routine and get to work. I don't want to be on my hands and knees fumbling around, opening my flashlight app, looking for a dumb AirPod.
Mm-hmm.
So then my brain was like, well, maybe she only had one AirPod. Of course, it's like, no. I see her using the AirPods all the time. She's got two, like everybody else on the planet. She doesn't have just one. She's got two. So now I got to find it. So after about 5 minutes of searching, I go into the next room, That little sumbitch, it went 10 to 12 feet.
It ran all the way over there.
It was out in the next room.
Right.
But luckily, I found it. I put it back in the case. It's charging.
You guys,
all is well.
You guys that are all Apple aficionados and have all the Apple stuff. And I, you know, I had the AirPods or whatever, but I you know me, I hate Apple. So I just buy the cheap stuff. But even if I had the Apple AirPods, I guess you, like with Valdez, you could find my AirPods or whatever. You can find them.
Mm-hmm.
I lose earpods all the time.
Sure.
Just the little case.
Mm-hmm.
You, I guess because you have Find My things, you don't. So that is a big advantage.
Yeah.
But do you guys, are yours all registered? Like, do you always know where yours are? I lose my little headphone things all the time. I'm constantly buying new ones.
I had a set. I actually lost one. I have one. And they're Samsung. They're not real AirPods. They're nubber ripoffs. But
yeah. So you do. I lose my little case that has my little AirPods all the time.
Sure. I mean, they are but small. They're easy to lose.
Yeah, I've misplaced it. I will say that Find My Phone app.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing because I lost my phone. I told you guys this a few years ago on a run.
Right.
And I actually, being an idiot, started retracing my steps for a couple of miles, and then I got home and my wife yelled at me that I didn't listen to her and that I could have just used the app, and then we drove to Great Seneca Highway and found it in the middle.
I mean, I'm certain there has to be an Android equivalent.
Yeah.
You know, Find My Samsung or whatever.
Probably.
I'm sure there is. But some of these cheap, you know, earpods that I buy for $20, I don't think they have that. But I lose them all the time.
So,
and I've had the same thing happen where the case bounces open,
like,
and then an ear thing goes, you have no idea.
It's under
the dishwasher now.
Yeah. So at least you found it.
Found it.
I had a life loss yesterday.
Case closed.
I went to Costco.
Love it.
I come home.
Crowded.
I park in the driveway.
So crowded.
I'd put everything in the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
Stacked up two things of water, soda. Didn't buy much food. But of course, I had to have cookies.
Yeah.
Well, when everything was, I guess, bouncing around a little bit, the cookies were in a plastic container, opened up. And right when I opened the trunk, the cookies started flying out.
Oh, trouble.
I quickly saved.
It's poor packing by him of the items.
I quickly saved it. I caught it, but eight cookies died.
That's
out of 24.
That's brutal.
Hit the driveway.
It's a life loss.
If you're buying,
no chance you would pick up a couple of them.
Not off the driveway.
If you're buying a bunch of gear,
I picked them up. I threw them in the trash.
If you're buying a bunch of stuff from Costco, you can't stack it right up against the lift gate of your car because you're going to open it up and things will shift as you're driving.
Rookie move.
And then all of a sudden your cookies fall out.
Rookie move.
Or God forbid, your Coke Zero 12 pack, or you go to Costco, it's a 35 pack. Tumbles out, and then sodas are spraying like fireworks on your driveway.
Let's say you drop a 12 pack.
Yeah.
And obviously, if you open it up, they'll all just be, you know, a mess.
Sure.
How long before that pressure like dissipates, or does it never? Like, could you open that 2 days later and it'd be fine? You're a soda expert.
You're going to lose the carbonation.
I'm an expert here. You'd be the soda expert.
I am an expert. Yes. Not an expert in many things, but soda, I would say. I have a doctorate in soda.
You're an expert.
My wife, I think it was my wife, had like a 12-pack of like, I think it was Pepsi Zero Sugar.
Yeah.
The 12-pack fell out of the back of the car and struck the driveway. Two or three were just dead on arrival, just spraying everywhere. But we thought the other nine sodas were salvageable. No, they were damaged beyond repair. Like, there were dings to the can, the sodas would just start like
oozing.
Like a day or two later, they deteriorated. The whole 12 pack was ruined.
So hold on, but let's say you drop it and there isn't visible damage to it, but you've shook them or shaken them.
Mm-hmm.
How long can you safely open them 2 days later, or do you need to be over your sink?
I think as long as the cans still have their integrity,
yeah, the cans
you can open
their
them a few days later and they're fine.
And if the cans
are damaged to a certain extent and they no longer have soda integrity, then your 12-pack is ruined.
Right.
And that's just a dark day because 12 packs of soda now, unless you get them on special, a 12-pack will run you like $10.
Right.
It's absurd. Like, you better get a BOGO or buy two, get two. Like,
right.
You better get some deals with your soda, or you're going to have to take out a second mortgage.
Well, that's why I got soda, Costco. Yeah. I got your toilet paper. I just got the biggies. Yeah, toilet paper.
The mainstays.
Dude, paper towels. I did get some Tide Pods.
Yeah, good.
Get a huge thing of Tide Pods.
I actually sneer a little bit when I go to Costco and I see people with the big giant cart and only like four items in it. I look at them like, what are you even... Do you even know how to Costco? Like, I just disrespect you. Like, you better have at least...
You disrespect me some of the times.
You better have at least $150 worth of items in your cart.
Maybe I was less than that.
Maybe 200.
I was less than that. I think I was 120.
I try not to go in there and just buy all my S. I probably should, but...
Saves you money in the long run.
I'm sure it does, but I usually just try to go in there. Like, I usually have a mission for one thing. Just because it's not my
go-to. But it's
go-to.
Hard to walk out of there with one thing, because my main mission was Tide Pods.
My main mission when I go there is the four Kirkland golf gloves for $25.
It's a good deal.
You just can't beat it.
It's a great deal.
It's just a great
deal. I mean, you walk into a country club pro shop, one glove will set you back $20, right?
Oh, easy.
Maybe 25.
Dude, I'll have to admit, I'm ODing on my sugar a little bit because I'm not drinking. Mm-hmm. I got to have a vice.
Sure.
Got to have a vice.
Yeah.
So I came back the other day and I went to get a chocolate shake. It was $5 for just a regular chocolate shake, $4.95. It didn't go to McDonald's, but to another place. $5. It blew me away.
They got to make their money. It's capitalism. You don't have to buy it.
It's crazy to me.
I mean, prices are out of control.
Inflation.
Like, I bought.
It's crazy.
Within the past week, at Five Guys, I bought. A little hamburger. That's with the one patty, not the two. A little hamburger, the little fries, and a big-ass drink. It was like $18.
Yeah.
$18.
Yeah. You go to a fast casual place, you're going to spend $16 to $20 for your lunch.
I was right in there.
Yeah. For your lunch.
It was good, though. Yeah. Don't think it wasn't good.
Their little fries are actually a lot of fries, though.
Yeah, because they give you the extra. they fill up the bag.
Yeah.
They're psychologically taunting you with the extra fries in the bag. But I like it. Yeah. I like being psychologically manipulated.
Now McDonald's, I believe, and it's probably been for a while, but I've noticed that their cones, they have two size cones now. Because I'm just ordering a regular cone. Maybe it's at some McDonald's, not at others. And they're giving me these little nubbers. And I'm so disappointed. There's only like two swirls. I'm like, what's going on here? And then I look, and then they have a small and a large. They have big. They have two different sizes.
Didn't know that.
Some of them. So they're screwing you. Yeah. And when they don't mix it right, I am livid. Sometimes it's like ice cold. They just don't have the ratio of milk to whatever, correct?
Right.
And it's like they're serving you ice. All right? This ever happened to you?
I don't get the regular cone. If I'm going to get something, I'll get a chocolate shake or a hot fudge sundae.
Yeah.
Occasionally, a McFlurry.
Why are you sleeping on McFlurries?
I do sleep on McFlurries. If I go that route, I do caramel sundae.
Believe they have the new S'mores McFlurry out now.
Ooh, I haven't tried that.
Instead of McFlurry, they got something with s'mores.
Might have to try that.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. Chris Russell's going to join us coming up at 7:20. He's been out at Commander's training camp. Don't go anywhere.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.